Good afternoon, Mr. Friedman. It's a slow day around here. Wondering if you have anything you'd like to say that could get us some clicks on the internet. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Okay.
What a response.
Let us start with, some of the news of the weekend. Devastating news. If you're a Canucks fan, I mean, this is supposed to be a death march. They're off to a great start. This young kid who lit the Swedish Elite League last year as a youngster, as a teenager, down to injury. What did you think of the Matheson hit on Elias Pettersson, now we're saying?
You know, he said Pettersson. We had Dan Murphy ask him. He did a bench interview on the broadcast before their game against Florida on Saturday night. And Dan asked him, you know, how would your dad say it? That's the Bob Cole tradition. He would always ask players, how would your dad say it? He said Pettersson. So that's what we're going with anyway on television. But
this is going to be like that blue and white dress thing on Twitter, I swear.
Yes, you know, that's a good comparison. Anybody who sees gold, I don't know, like you must have been some serious hallucinogens or something like that. But anyway, you know, the hit, it's interesting. You know, I tried to draw some comparables. Like, there was a play, I think it was in 2015, where Brad Malone took out Sam Gagner in a game between Carolina and Philadelphia. And it was similar. He didn't have the stick between the legs, but he put it up against the boards and he threw him down. And, you know, Gagner was caught and there was no suspension. And, you know, I asked a couple people, you know, what's the difference? And, you know, I think that they felt that the reason I think Matheson was going to get something was because they felt it wasn't like an all-in-one motion. He pinned him, the puck went away, and then he threw him down. And I think that in terms of the way it went, the fact that he took a second and then did it is going to be a factor here. I think the other thing, and I understand that Matheson or his agent or whoever and used it in his defense or in today, is that, and I will tell you, I've had people agree with this, that if, you know, Pettersson was 200 pounds instead of, you know, whatever he is, we wouldn't be talking about any of this stuff. And that it is simply a bigger player throwing a smaller player down. But the fact is, he got hurt. There was that pause in between the actions, and that's where we are. And I think he is going to get something. Not a ton, maybe one or two games, but I think he is going to get something. And, you know, so that's where I think we are. Like, a slight difference between a play 3 years ago and a play now, I think it shows you where we're going and where we've come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and that's I looked at it, Elliot, and I said to myself, geez, I mean, was he maybe a little aggressive? Yeah, he probably didn't need to finish like that, but I didn't get the feeling that Matheson went out to try and hurt or injure Pettersson. That's kind of the way I looked at it. I thought maybe there could have been a roughing penalty on the play, but I didn't see him trying to target or concuss a player or anything like that.
No, I don't think it was a deliberate attempt to injure, but the fact is you are responsible for your actions, and he did cause an injury. You know, it's funny. I've had a lot of conversations about this in the past couple of days, like I think most people who cover the game have. And, you know, in the last week, it's become clear, like, this guy is a supremely talented guy. And, you know, one of the things I'd written about last week in my notes were that there were teams who thought he was the number one player available. And one of the reasons he went five was because, you know, there were some teams who were concerned that his build would be a problem. Now, he's smart and he's shifty. He's a lot like your guy, Goudreau, there, in the sense that it's hard to get him. He knows that that's not one of his strengths, so he makes it very difficult to hit him. But eventually you become a target. And, you know, teams try to run at you. And now people recognize he is their best player. And they're going to go after him. I mean, if you live in Vancouver, you simply have to look at all the abuse the Sedins took over, you know, 20 years. Like, those guys took as much abuse as anybody in the league, and they played through it because they were tough. And to me, toughness is not, I drop my gloves and fight you. Toughness is, throw whatever you want at me, I'm still going to beat you. I always respected the Sedins for that. And that's the way it's going to have to be. I think one of the interesting things about this is how much bigger is Pettersson going to get? Like, is he going to be a guy who's always going to be slight, or is there room to fill out? And I don't know the answer to that question, but, you know, I think like Johnny Gaudreau in your own city, you're going to have to live with the fact that when he gets hit, there's more of a potential for injury just because he isn't built as the biggest guy.
Well, and I do think that there's a fine. This is why I'm having difficulty with this one, Elliot, because there's a fine line we got to walk. Like we still embrace and encourage physicality and aggression in the NHL. That's part of what makes hockey at its highest level what it is. So there's a fine line that you have to walk, and that's this one's difficult for me because I didn't see it. Yeah, targeting heads when you're doing open ice hits and hits from behind, those are things that are a whole lot more black and white to me. This one, there's a lot of gray area, especially when you start to talk about how physical we want this game to be.
Well, and I think, you know, it goes back to the Tom Wilson thing. You know, 20 years ago, that hit he delivered on Sundqvist in the preseason, there's nothing. He's not getting 20 games for that. But, you know, it just shows you how times have changed, Pat, that, you know, now every hit stands out because I don't think in the playoffs, it's a tough game. And it's still a tough game. But in the playoffs, it's a lot tougher. Like, you know, the Kings are here today. They're playing Toronto tonight. And John Stevens was asked about the Kings trying to be a big, tough, physical team and does it work anymore. And he looked at the guy who asked the question and he said, hey, do you think Washington was a tough team last year? And the answer was yes. And I think it shows you, I don't know if there's a sport right now that is more different in the regular season and the playoffs than the NHL is. And, you know, I think it's a different game. I think there's less hate in the regular season. Big hits like that and plays like that stand out in the regular season. I think the other thing, too, is one thing the league always talks to me about is, you know, who's the game involved? Like, if it's a Canadian team and something like that happens, there's always a lot more pressure because, you know, there's more attention on it. But, you know, I think the fact is this is a tremendous young player who was starting to carry the fan base on its back, and they love him, and they saw him get hurt, and they were upset. And but like I said when I talked at the beginning of the interview, Pat, I think if it was an all-in-one motion thing like Malone did with Gagne, maybe it's different here.
Let us move along. The couple significant injuries. The Penguins will be without Justin Schultz for a significant amount of time. Sounded like 4 months. And Paul Stastny, it's going to be 2 months at least for the Golden Knights. Just the thoughts on those absences and what sort of spots it puts those clubs in.
Well, I think the Schultz thing, it's going to get Olli Maatta out of the doghouse. I mean, he's a guy, he was a scratch. They weren't happy with him. I think you were getting close to a situation where maybe he was on the trade block, and obviously that's not going to happen right now. They're going to need him. So that's one thing. You know, Jim Rutherford said he'll try to fix it internally, but you know him. He's never afraid to make a deal. I'm curious about Vegas. I think, you know, as you know, that's a weird division. There's no, like, you know, Anaheim's, what are they, 4-1 right now or 3-2? But, you know, they're not really scaring anybody at this point in time. Then John Gibson is absolutely carrying on his back. So I don't know if that means Vegas waits or they go do something in the time being. You can never have too many centers. But, you know, Paul Stastny, 2 months, that's a huge loss for them.
And what about San Jose, just sticking with the Pacific? They have not exactly gone gangbusters to start. Still just 3 points for Erik Karlsson. Brent Burns, a slower start that hit their last game. I think, what was it, yesterday he looked a little better. But are you surprised that they haven't got off to a great start?
A little. I mean, I would say yes. But to me, I think the bigger questions has been, you know, in goal. You know, Jones hasn't gotten off to a great start, and he was lights out for them last year. And if your goaltending isn't as good as it can normally be, it can kind of take you down. I think it was weird for the one that was weird for me was not their loss yesterday, but you know, they had the Rangers down and they couldn't hold them out in Madison Square Garden on Thursday. That was a bit of a surprise for me. I just think they're too good not to figure it out. but it's clear they're not as good as they should be right now. It's early.
He's Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada every Monday on Pinder and Steinberg. We're talking about teams and some surprises and stuff like that. What do you make of the Carolina Hurricanes early on in the year? I know they lost for the first time last night, but they've had they've had themselves a really nice start to the season. A lot of people buzzing about them. Sebastian Aho named one of the stars of the week. Where are you on this Hurricanes team to start the year?
Well, I still think the biggest question is going to be, is their goaltending going to hold up all year? They've got Mrazek, they've got McElhinney, and you guys know I've talked on your station how much I like him, and they've got Darling. And, you know, are you going to keep three goalies when Darling's healthy? What are you going to do? And, you know, I think throughout the year, that's going to be the big question. But I think they got a lot of good players. I think I really like their D. I think Slavin is one of the more unknown, really good players in the National Hockey League. Obviously, they have a lot of guys there that nobody really knows. You know, Aho maybe will get out of that. I think Jordan Staal, it was interesting. I had a chance to speak to Rod Brindamore last year, and he was saying that Jordan Staal is basically the most dominant, not scoring player in the league. And I watched him a bit this week, and he's really good. You know, they want to play up tempo. They want to chase you or make you chase them. I like a lot of things about them, but Pat, like, I look at that goaltending and I'm just wondering, is that going to hold up over 82 games?
Fair enough. Okay, just one more for you from me, Elliot. Marco Dano gets claimed off waivers today. I believe that's three teams now, or fourth team, because what was it? Columbus, Chicago, then Winnipeg, and now scooped up. Are we still a prospect here, or has this become a project now?
Well, I think it's probably more of the latter, but it shows you that teams still think he can play. You know, I don't think Winnipeg, you know, wanted to put that guy on waivers. I just think that people kind of looked at, well, we're in trouble here. And, you know, I'm sure they tried to move him, and people just looked and said, you know what, we're not necessarily going to give you anything. I think that obviously Colorado still feels that he's a talented enough guy worth taking a flyer on. And they did pretty well with Matt Nieto a couple of years ago in that. They took him on waivers from the Sharks, and he's turned out to be a decent player for them. So I think you're probably going into the project more than prospect now, but I think the guy still has some talent.
Barbario, too. Another claim in Colorado.
That worked out really well for them, too. They've had a couple of really good waiver claims. Barbario was good for them, and so was Nieto.
Okay, Elliot, that just about does it. We appreciate your patience a little late getting to you, but always great hearing your insights.
Yeah, you know what? Don't let it happen again next week, okay, guys?
All right.
We feel shame.
You know, I'm 10 minutes late.
I'm used to Molberg being like 10 minutes late in the morning because he's doing whatever Biddy's got to do. I expect better from you guys.
I think it's the breakfast sandwich versus the bagel. That's the bit.
It's fair. That must be what it is. Yeah.
No, we do. We need to be better. We'll be better next time.
Yeah, that's what I expect it.
Thank you, sir. Bye, Elliot.
See you guys later. Have a great week.